Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The FBI has now talked to some folks. They've had some people of interest. A man was detained in Rio Rico, released without charges. We've seen some very dramatic moments here in the last many a days, where it seems, oh, maybe something is going to be happening. The FBI's hostage negotiation units are around. They're ready, you know, should they need to be called. So, I mean, good on them. I'm happy that they're there and they're ready if Nancy is around and they're going to be needed. The information we're finding out about some of these people that they've detained or went and talked to, it doesn't go very deep. It's one of them, I think it was like the mother-in-law said, his eyes look like my son-in-law. I can't imagine how Christmas is going to be at that house going
right.
forward. But when you have loose tips, I guess you could say, coming in, and then, okay, it turns into like a lot of attention and let's rush, let's go talk. I mean, good on them for hunting down every tip that comes in, I guess. What does it say about the tips that are coming in and what is being deemed actionable? Because it almost kind of feels like any reason we can go out, we're going to do it because it looks good on us, but these tips haven't really led anywhere.
Excuse me, Tony. I've read reports that indicate there have been something in the neighborhood of 18,000 tips that law enforcement has received since this incident. So it's really difficult to sift through those and see, hey, what appears to be reliable, what can be corroborated, what is just somebody seeking attention. It's hard to sort of distill that information. But you've got to look at the source of the tip. If there is an identified source, you've got to look at whether it's corroborated by other information, things like that.
I think we got some of the video there that was just up. That's showing the this is not at Nancy Guthrie's house. This is from, I believe, a different location, a different day, earlier than Nancy's disappearance. It shows a man that looks like he's wearing the same sort of jacket. Mm-hmm. It's pretty damn similar, with a backpack, going near what appears to be a fence of some sort. And then it looks like does he get over the fence or does he walk away? It's suspicious activity, nonetheless. That looks like it was captured on somebody's security camera of some sort. How valuable is something like that going to be to the FBI in trying to identify this this individual? Obviously, clothes are one thing, but now they know that, well, they're looking for somebody with those clothes. So if they have any sense at all, that those clothes are going to be gone. But we may have a face on that video. I know it was blurred out in the one we just saw there, but I have seen one where it wasn't blurred. Obviously, it could be, it could lead to something, or it could lead to nothing. I don't know.
It could be critically important. You know, I've reviewed that video before this, and one thing it shows is the person has two backpacks, not one, and also they don't have the face covering anymore. Mm-hmm. If it is the same person, it might be a completely different person. My understanding is this location is approximately 5 miles from the Guthrie home, mm-hmm. and so currently folks are kind of analyzing the timeline. There's a timestamp in this video, but some people aren't sure whether it's 100% accurate. So, you know, this is what law enforcement is doing. They're getting these tips. They're saying, hey, could this be him? Can we line this up to the sequence of events that we believed happened? Are there similarities and differences between appearance, between gait, between size, height, weight, things like that? That those are all the analyses that are currently going on. Could be a tremendous lead. Could be absolutely nothing.
A $50,000 reward is a nice chunk of money that they're throwing out there for information leading to the arrest of whoever did this for Nancy Guthrie. That's been on the table now for several days. We've had the ransom letters that have come and gone, and it appears that they were probably fake at this point, considering nobody has really come forward for any of that money. When we're talking about a $50,000 reward and nobody coming forward on it yet, typically that isn't necessarily, you know, the killer that, or we can't say killer, the kidnapper, whatever this person is. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's not the person that's going to come forward and go, hey, but it's somebody who knows, somebody where there was leakage, where somebody goes, yeah, I think this could be this going on, or somebody who does know directly that X person was involved in this. The fact that no one has come forward yet, what does that read to you? Does that read to you as there is more than one person involved in this, considering no one has come forward? Or is this really, was this a one-man job by some nutcase or something?
You know, it's a bit hard to interpret that no one's come forward just yet. But to your point, you know, I think there's a reasonable likelihood that there was more than one person involved for a couple reasons. One reason is that on the video and the stills that have been released from the front door, at some points, the purported kidnapper has a backpack and a gun. At some points, he does not. So is there some other car that he's like grabbing this stuff from, going back and forth? Additionally, Nancy Guthrie, the alleged victim, is 84 years old. She is not particularly mobile. It would be difficult for one human being to sort of, you know, carry her out or somehow mm-hmm. escort her out without any assistance at all. So I think the probability of more than one person being involved is higher than some folks have reported.
Eric, what's been your take on the video itself, the main one that's come out where he walks up to the camera, just right there, gets his face on camera, realizes, oh, crap, and then turns around and grabs some cilantro and covers it or whatever he grabbed. I mean, what is your take on that after saying that? Is this someone you think that that has experience in this, or is this, you know, I'm totally green and somebody paid me some money to go do this, or this is my first rodeo and maybe nobody paid him. They're doing it for whatever reason on their own volition. I don't know. What's your gut telling you when you saw that video?
Does not seem like a pro job to me. It seems a bit amateurish for a number of reasons. One is that where the firearm is, so it's on a holster that appears to be outside of the kidnapper's clothing, so clearly visible to anybody. That yeah. firearm could increase the potential charge. It could add a sentence enhancer. Most professional criminals know not to just be openly brandishing a firearm. On top of that, it looks like they didn't case out exactly the sort of directionality of this video and what it would capture. They kind of just walked up there and was like, oh, looks like I'm on camera here. Lastly, if the perpetrators did send these ransom notes, they were sent to media outlets. Usually people wouldn't want a ton of attention around a crime they committed. They would send them more privately to the victim's family and try to procure payment through that channel.
Well, and it even stinks as somebody who maybe doesn't even know how to use a gun, because that's not where you holster a gun. That's a very precarious position for a gun, especially if you're a man.
You don't want that to go off. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's the same for somebody who's not watched a lot of movies, maybe not fired a gun very often. I mean, as a woman, I know not to put it there. So, yeah, this looks like somebody who just picked up a whole bunch of stuff that they might need and had no idea how to use any of it.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of that's my interpretation so far.
And then 40 some minutes in the house. That's another. What's your take on the 40 some minutes in the house?
Yeah.
What would you be doing for 45 minutes? You know, look, if you're going to commit a crime where you're going to enter a house unlawfully and try to kidnap an 84-year-old woman, you're not going to take your time. You're not going to be just moseying around. You're trying to get in and get out. You're trying to not be detected. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like the kidnapper had that front of mind when they were carrying this out. 45 minutes inside there. You know, this is an 84-year-old woman. What are you, you know, talking about The View or something? I have no idea what you would be doing for 45 minutes in there, especially if your objective is to kidnap this person and try to seek a ransom payment. No need to, you know, be talking it up or bullshitting in there for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Something we haven't heard about yet, and I'm just going to throw it out there. We've heard nothing about like cell phone towers in this whatsoever yet, other than her pacemaker disconnected via Bluetooth from her phone. Is that a route that they can be looking at in terms of who was pinging off of the tower at 2 something in the morning at that moment in time? I mean, maybe whoever was there has a ping. I mean, that could be a lot of people. It probably will be a lot of people, but I would think you might be able to see some spikes in activity. I don't know. It seems like a possible road. I would hope the FBI is going down at this moment in time. It's probably, you know, it's taking a wide net and maybe making it into a slightly smaller wide net. But would you think that maybe something like that could be at play at this point of the investigation?
Oh, you're definitely on the right track there, Tony. You know, because what they can do is they can seek search warrants for, like you said, activity with cell phone towers in the area. So that'll often show, like if someone makes a call while they're near a cell phone tower, that's activity that can be logged and traced. And oftentimes the source of the call, the telephone number, that kind of thing can be revealed. Additionally, if someone's just texting or even geolocational data can also come to rise in terms of these forensic digital investigations. So it could narrow down, you know, who was in this area around this time using their phone. Yeah. You know, even if it narrows it down to 100 people, that's a lot better than thousands upon thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And especially if, I mean, the 40 some minutes and the amateur hour on the porch is what gets me. It tells me this was something that I don't think it was planned to take. My operating thought in my mind, based on nothing but my brain, is maybe something happened in the house to Nancy with this person, and she was injured or died in the house. And oh shit, what do we do now? And that 40 some minutes was spent trying to figure out what to do next. And that's where I'm wondering if there's more than one person involved, if there was an outgoing call to somebody, what happened here? I don't know what to do here. She's dead, or she's laying here. She's bleeding out, whatever it may be. I'm thinking there might've been some communication somewhere of something that went wrong. That's just kind of my gut. Who knows? That's not fact. It's not based on anything, but that would certainly be something that, you know, if you're looking at the cell towers and what's coming and going in terms of traffic there, that might be something to look at. I don't know.
People in our chat have mentioned SA as well, that maybe something didn't go the way they had planned. And
God, I hope not.
I hope not too.
Yeah. That would add a new level of
potentialities.
Yeah. Still no answers. Just a lot of questions, but that's where we're at right now. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or on Substack. Weigh in. We'd love to get your feedback on where you think this is all going.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
Just bawling, crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming, because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.